Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, it's the Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
This is a story that we saw yesterday, but did not get a chance to discuss, and I think we should discuss it. I think it's certainly a piece worth talking about. Sharif O'Neal, remember him?
Of course I do.
He is the son of Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, we remember.
He's been at LSU, he's been at UCLA, and now he is on the market once again. He is transferring from LSU, and he is looking for a new place to play. He mentions in a piece up at 247 Sports by our friend Travis Branham, he mentions three schools specifically. They are as follows: Jackson State, Texas Southern, and Memphis.
Wow.
His brother plays at Texas Southern.
Oh, okay.
Shakir is his name, right? At Jackson State, Mo Williams, who I guess played with Shaq once upon a time somewhere, is the coach. And then Penny is Shaq's former teammate at, you know, as you remember, or maybe not, the Orlando Magic once upon a time.
Yeah, I think I remember.
You remember those two together?
I think so.
There's a documentary made about them, this Magic moment, which was a great documentary, by the way. That's actually one of the better 30 for 30s in my mind.
I could not agree more.
All right, so that's it. That's the show, folks. Me and Jason agree, and that's going to do it.
Next story.
So rarely happens. Is this a good development for Memphis? Should they get him?
Well, let's just go through. Let's go through what he says about Memphis. He says Memphis is another one. Everyone who is really recruiting me has known me since I was a little kid. It's fun and actually cool having my dad's teammates recruit me. Penny is a legend, and Mo Williams is awesome. It's a battle of family, and I got to take it one step at a time. Now, he's in the draft process, but based on his production in college, his whole career, really, it doesn't feel like the time is quite right for him to enter the draft, if I were to say. So it seems like he's going to go back to college. And Memphis, as we know, needs a big, right?
Yeah.
They need a, you know.
Not what I had envisioned, but yeah, they need a big.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, the path laid out is not the one you anticipated taking.
I just don't see this as the kid. Do you? Do you see this as the guy Penny Hardaway is saying on a list that's got Texas Southern and Jackson State? Penny Hardaway looking at Sharif and saying, that's my answer at the five next to DeAndre?
I could see him, like, being
that's
interested.
What he zeroed in on?
I could see him being
interested.
I don't
see it at all. I don't see it. I could see it as him adding depth. Mm-hmm. And Shaq's a friend. You got him there. Maybe you even think that this kid's never averaged more than 3 points in college.
Well, remember, Penny is savvy now, you know?
Savvy when it comes to getting, you know, good talent, true talent. And again, this one looks more like a project to me because you're dealing with someone with all due respect who's had heart surgery. You know, has been cleared to play, obviously, but has not been able to stay on the floor anywhere he's been. I can't see Penny who he just went and got Kendrick Davis. He clearly is hoping for big things in the 1 year he's going to have Kendrick Davis, looking at Sharif and saying, that's my answer at the five. That's my starting answer. I think I would feel much more comfortable, it gives you an indication where I'm at on this, with Malcolm Dandridge in there at the five than I would with Sharif O'Neal. I don't think that's Penny's plan. Depth, could see it. The answer at the five, no.
Yeah.
You disagree?
No, I think that's probably accurate, right?
How tall? What is he? 7 foot? Is he 6'11", 6'10"?
I think
Not that it's going to matter here because it's, again, can he stay on the floor, John? Mm. You know?
I mean, and he's sort of listed as a power forward here, but it feels like if he were to come here, it would be the five, would it not?
Well, you have a backup power forward and Chandler Lawson.
Right. And you don't, and you only have
who you know can play for right. you, knows your system.
And the only center you have on the roster is Malcolm.
Again, now you've got some scholarship to use. We said, what are they at, eight right now? We think so. Mm-hmm. You've got the scholarships, but is it? I would ask you, is it worth it? I don't know. Maybe it's a favor to Shaq. Who knows? Like
sure.
I said, I would see it more as a depth piece, and a project than I would an answer.
Well,
at the
you
five.
Could like you could see him saying, "Well, I need to rehabilitate, you know, my professional prospects." And so I'm going to come to Memphis to do that. You could see that, you know.
Oh, for Sharif?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Dude, I'll be real honest with you. Like, Mo didn't do anything at Alabama State, who's now at Jackson State. It's one of the ones on the list. And Texas Southern is always there, but if you're talking about the choices on that list, it's a no-brainer. So, you would pick Memphis in terms of what can best develop you and who's got the best chance to actually do something.
So you're not going
to
get excited
I get it for Sharif.
Commits.
I don't get it for Penny, necessarily, other than a depth piece.
Who would you be more excited about coming to Memphis, Sharif O'Neal or General Booty?
I'll go back to Sharif because I'm not going to play this game. You got everything you can get out of that booth.
But wouldn't you just think it's so poetic if General Booty came to Memphis and unseated Seth Hennigan? Wouldn't you enjoy that?
We were just keeping this segment kind of, you know, serious about Sharif, but you managed to mess that up.
Mm-hmm.
Sharif, fine, come.
No, you were saying during the break.
Can't
you were
answer.
Saying during the break, and I think we do need to start introducing the things that get set off the air onto the air. You were saying that Sharif O'Neal was the real General Booty off the air. That's what you were saying when you looked at his numbers, and I think that's ridiculous that you would say that. He's been playing through injury. You know, who knows what else? I just think
don't
that's
put that
ridiculous.
On me.
I honestly like. I would. I think it's smart because it's an opportunity to coach Shaq's kid. You know, like that's
what good
exposure.
What good does that do you if the kid's not going to develop into anything?
Well, you probably think you can do that. You probably think you can develop him. Like, oh, you just haven't been coached.
But LSU
right.
thought that after the 2 years at UCLA.
Yeah.
Or 1 year, whatever it was at UCLA that he spent. LSU thought the same thing. Why are you different? And LSU was dad's alma mater. That's what that was. Hell, that's where dad played. Here, well, now I'm going to go where dad's friends are at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this seems to be more relational than it is. Hey, here's a prospect that we can develop.
Well, I mean,
and done the fact that it's just Memphis, it's just Shaq's friends now. Memphis, Texas, Southern, Jackson State.
I mean, I think
tell you something in terms of the market for this kid, or good people think he is.
Well, that's okay though. I mean, you know, there are. I'm open to him coming into Memphis as an experienced guy if this is the way it goes, and him having a decent year. You know, I mean,
again, I'm open to it. I'm just telling you that I don't get the sense that this is as the five. There's no way Penny's looking at this as the answer at the five.
Well,
not happening.
Kenneth Lofton looks like he's going to be a guy that stays in the draft.
Yeah, Houston and Memphis gonna miss out on him.
Like he's performing very well
in these combines, big boy.
He's not as big as he was anymore.
How much has he lost?
Like 15, 20 pounds.
Oh. When you're coming from 400 pounds, I mean, you still got to work.
He was 400.
He looks like it. I'm just saying. We sit up here and talk about Zion. This dude is two Zions.
Well, dude, like it's like you know sometimes, and I mean this respectfully. Sometimes you need to stay fat, right? Like Kenneth Lofton. Like
I'm not going to put that on him. That's you saying that. You're on that side of
the table. That was an advantage. His size was an advantage. Is he still the same player if he's less fat? Sometimes comedians are funnier when they're fat.
From the guy that says fat people should lose weight or they will die.
Well, again, when it's like your advantage, when it's you know a competitive advantage, I think you should think about that.
How about living?
Living is.
Remember that? Yeah, that's always been your mantra.
He's getting cardio, so it's fine. No, but Lizzo does, you know.
Don't say her.
Booty, show me the booty.
Lizzo does like cartwheels and spinaroonies on stage, though, so she's the most athletic. Like if
that's not Lizzo. I apologize.
At all.
If Lizzo walked into Shabazz's gym right now, she'd be the most athletic person in there, right?
Oh no!
I'm asking,
bro.
I'm asking,
don't
I'm
do
just
this.
Asking
don't,
the question.
Don't,
I'm just asking,
Jason. John, why does the show have to go in this direction today, Jason?
Again, John. You know he gets into his.
She would play like the flute and do like the
sweet
spin-a-rooney.
Spots, and Lizzo.
He finds
of
something, and it's just right. You know, light the match, bro.
Kenneth Lofton would post Lizzo up.
I'll put it this way: Shabazz would be very impressed.
Yeah,
with her athleticism.
You think so?
Yes. Yes. She might not be the best athlete in there, but he would be very impressed.
I mean, I got to give it to you. She can move around. pretty well.
Oh, you're going to give it to me.
I'm going to give it to
give
you.
Give it to Lizzo, dude.
I mean, it is. It's a feat.
Respect. Put some respect on it.
Lizzo.
Respect.
Lizzo. And Lofton, you like, don't lose weight, don't touch a thing. Lizzo.
Careful.
Again.
Careful. We know. It's different for
it's
her.
A it's a basketball advantage. Okay. It's a competitive advantage.
Would you like to see Shareef O'Neal here, John? And how important would it be if he was here? I say, yeah, it's fine, but it's not very important.
It's not the difference.
I don't know.
Nice story. It's a headline. You're helping out your buddy. But from what I've seen from his career, I would say this cannot be the answer at the five, if that's what
Let
we're
me ask you a question. Is there, you know, because I'm getting lots of tweets from people. Who hurt you? Who hurt you, man? Oh, Shareef. Like, where you had high hopes for him being a child of the 80s and 90s.
Now he's making
Shaq's
stuff
kid.
Up.
I'm just telling you, man, what the perception out there. They want to know, man. They want to know where it originates.
I think, was it 2 years ago that we were talking about Shaq's buying a house in Memphis?
Yeah. That was when Penny got
Shareef?
The job.
Was it Shareef that we were talking about then?
Yes. Yeah.
See, back then, no,
that
for
was,
me, would have called. Like,
that was
when,
4 years
when
ago.
When
Shareef
didn't have as much of a history.
Seems
in
like
terms
yesterday.
Of, you know, these transfers and again, not getting over 3 points per game in any college season he's played. Back then, the excitement level's up there for me.
I've seen LSU
say, okay, well, let's go see if we can get something out of them. They could not. I just don't see why it's going to be different here.
I think that's fair.
That's just the real.
No, I mean, you don't want to, like, overhype it, right? You don't want to, like, act like this is the missing
piece. Nor take on a project that's not worth taking on, John.
Well,
you know, I'm all for doing favors or whatever, but if you're talking about bringing Shareef and you're going to turn him into an NBA prospect, I just don't see it happening based on the body of work so far.
Yeah.
And so is that worth it? Again, helping out a friend is one thing. Right. Add a little depth. You got a scholarship open, sure. But I don't see it being more than that.
Well, no, because he hasn't produced at the college level. I mean, that's just the truth.
And has had opportunities. And again, you're talking about a kid who's had a heart condition, had to have a surgery at UCLA. So we're just thankful he's able to be on the floor. That said, Penny is at a different level when it comes to being able to get talent. And again, I would tell you I'd like to see a different answer in terms of what you're going to put beside DeAndre Williams.
But I do think
it's, and it sounds like it's there. Like, you know, Kendrick Davis ain't messing around with we're about to show y'all. That stuff's not coming out of anywhere. People just assuming Penny's going to pull these rabbits out of the hat. Stuff is already set, John. And you get a feeling that after these NBA workouts and everything else, we're going to start. We'll see the names pop, and Penny will be ready to let these headlines fly.
I do appreciate
typically the way he does business.
I do appreciate Penny's the way he the timeline he operates on.
100%.
Like, he always keeps it spicy well into the off season. Like, he's looking out.
Well,
for
and
us.
Just when y'all think it's slowing down or whatever, he's always got 2-3 things up his sleeve.
Now we have a very clear
Kendrick Davis let you know that this
we time. Have a very clear pattern of what you know. What Penny's going to do and when he's going to do it. He is going to play possum for the regular season with recruiting, and then in May, June, July, and August, he is going to somehow assemble the number one recruiting class.
Stop asking me stupid f***ing questions.
Like, it's just true. Like, that's what he's going to do.
It's kind of been what he does. He's shown us. So
Penny's like, Penny.
So you don't need Shareef O'Neal. Back to the point.
Well, Penny's like, this is the NBA in Penny, right? Like, because the accusation in the NBA is always, well, they don't play until the fourth quarter. Penny don't really turn it on until the fourth quarter of recruiting. But when he does,
I guess you could say that Musa, that's Amani.
Musa was
late.
Amani, Jalen was late. You know, Precious and Lester were the late period.
That spring class changed because it was Trenton Watford and our dude Matthew Hurt it one time, and that changed to Lester
Boogie.
It did.
So the best work that Penny has done historically at Memphis has been late. Now, if Shareef O'Neal commits to Memphis, you will not hear.
Go crazy.
You will not hear any words of encouragement from Jason. He will say this.
Jason gonna keep it real.
You're gonna say this is a mistake. This is not a take.
Again, these are lies you're putting out.
What will you say if they
didn't say that at all?
What will you
say? Just a fine depth piece, like we said with Elijah McCann.
So you
right?
don't think
a decent depth piece? You hope
you don't think
with Elijah? I think you have some real hope that it's gonna be one with.
Hey,
with Shareef is kind of like, maybe.
You don't think general manager Kendrick Davis approved of Shareef O'Neal?
Yeah, I don't think that's the guy he's talking about. I just don't think that's the big news he's talking about.
You know, you signed off on that one.
We'll ask Tony if that's what he thinks to come when we talk.
Don't you think Kendrick Davis is kind of the GM?
No,
you don't think all signings go through him right now?
No, you're not giving him that much power. I know Penny's compared him to D Rose and Ja and
Kyrie. He's gonna be the best guard ever.
No, he's not. This ain't. He ain't the GM. He ain't LeBron all of a sudden here. It's 1 year, John.
What would be your message?
Penny has learned the lesson about pouring too much into one player over 1 year. That James Wiseman. You've learned that lesson.
What would be your message to Shareef?
Stop.
What?
My message would be stop.
Stop what?
My message would be stop.
Retire?
We've hit the keys to this story. It's pretty much done. I think you've juiced this thing. You've milked it for as much milk as you're going to get out of it. Stop squeezing on the
things. It's a Memphis recruit, man. Mm-hmm. It's a Memphis Tiger basketball recruit.
Reportedly.
There is no... You can't stand this, man.
Purportedly.
I have never heard you be this, like, you just don't want any part.
No, I don't think dressing it up as anything real serious is would be an accurate thing to do.
All right, well, when he commits, and if he commits, it's going to be, this side of the desk is going to have a big celebration.
If they're bringing in a big, it's going to be him and somebody else.
Yeah.
Got to be.
Well, we shall see anyway.
You don't put this guy ahead of Malco. No, I wouldn't put him ahead of Chandler at power forward.
Would you put him ahead of Connor Glennon?
Say, hey, CC that to Shaq, since you got such a problem with it. You've been trying to get under my skin the whole day. You just did it. You got a problem with it. Send it to Shaq.
I'm just trying.
I got Malco in front of him. Got Chandler Lawson in front of him.
Would you put Connor Glennon in front of him? Tadarius Jacobs? You would put Tadarius Jacobs in front of him right now at this point, wouldn't you?
Is he back?
I think they were talking about putting him on scholarship.
Those guys are guards, yeah.
What I'm saying, though, would you?
No. Would you
put Tadarius ahead of him at the four?
Are we ready?
Next story.
Unless you've got anything else to add on the Sharif story.
I think we covered it.
Boston, we talked about them last night, improved to 4-0 after losses in these playoffs with a 127-102 game two win at Miami. It was domination, quite frankly. Game three is Saturday night in Boston. We said it. It's the fourth time this postseason, third time on the road that the Celtics have responded to a loss with a win. Okay, in those games, they've won them by an average of 17.3 points per game. So they're not just making adjustments. They're making adjustments and clubbing teams over the head after they lose these games. Now, that's only happened in the last two series. Remember, they swept the Nets.
Yep.
Okay, so these four losses have come, obviously, in the last two series. Here's the interesting thing. You've pinpointed this. That turnaround for Boston was right around the top of the year, right around January,
yep,
when they just went from, what, around a 500 team,
yep,
to, frankly, one of the best teams in the league, contender, the best defense in the league. They are 10-1 since that time, really since late January, so a little bit later, 10-1 coming off defeats.
Yeah, and again, we talk about Ime Udoka, right? We talked about how good of a coach he is in that.
It's looking like it, first year.
And you know, you got Marcus Smart coming off of a, you know, pretty tough injury. You got Al Horford was he drank some, you know, some magical tea or something. I don't
know. Yeah, because Windhorst was saying game four. He ends up playing in game two, but he wasn't. As you pointed out, he wasn't showing symptoms anymore.
Yeah, that was weird.
He just needed to test out, right? He just needed to get a couple of negative tests.
So what happened then? Because if he was getting showing symptoms, if he wasn't showing symptoms,
I don't know. Because that's why we said that's what triggers the testing.
Right.
That's what's so weird about this story.
Yeah. I mean,
that's unclear to me.
Yeah. The Celtics are a problem, and
the special going to be one if Marcus Smart continues to play that well.
You know, again, I expected Boston to win because it's very difficult to go down 2-0 and win a series. So I expected their best effort. I expected a desperation effort from them last night, and I was invested in that. And
paid off for you,
and it continues to pay off. You know, and that's sort of what I would tell Sharif, but like, keep working, you know, because it can pay off. But in terms of this series moving forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to continue to work in references like that throughout the show. Y'all, don't worry. We're going to ask Tony Madlock
about it. It's your way of amusing yourself.
It is, man. Can I not do that every now and then?
You're entitled to it.
Can I not do that every now and then? Yeah, I think this is now Boston series to lose. I do. And you know how much I love the Miami Heat. But they have these stretches, man, where they depend very, very heavily on Tyler Hero, not Euro. Right?
He's a hero.
Because we were having this conversation again off the air.
Man, you got to stay focused.
But there's a difference.
Are you off the meds today?
There's a difference between a hero and a hero.
Yes.
Okay.
I've always thought of a hero, Brad. You can correct us and then
I'll try my best here. I don't know if I'm qualified.
I think you are. And no prep needed.
Oh, yeah.
I believe a hero.
Mr. Prep Man over here.
A hero.
I can ad lib
sometimes. For me, is a submarine sandwich.
Okay.
A gyro. Spelled G-Y-R-O, mm-hmm, mispronounced as gyro.
Heard that.
Is a gyro. That's got like lamb in it.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That's Greek. You can get that at the, what is it, Brad? The Greek Fest that's going on? We got it going on this weekend.
Greek Orthodox Church, they've got the Greek Fest this weekend.
You would go
Good
there
play.
To get a gyro.
Yes.
At least from my side of the tracks, hero. Not a hero. I think, does that clear it up for you? Because I think that's the question you're asking.
Yes.
A hero, submarine sandwich, gyro, right? Is one of those lamb.
That's, I think,
got
that's
all the,
does this check out to you, Brad?
It sounds good. I just, the one thing that I take
sheep
away,
meat.
I do think after listening to Jeff, gyro is a mispronunciation.
It absolutely
of,
is.
He said
of
gyro?
Of either word.
Yeah, he said gyro?
Gyro, no, he said.
No, he was clarifying.
He actually said hero.
Nobody says hero. Gyro, though, do they? Nobody would ever do that.
I've seen it. Well,
but,
I've probably
but what I'm
it,
not
you know.
Clear on is that Jeff may have been referring to a submarine sandwich and not the Greek food gyro.
There we are.
Wow.
Okay.
What?
A hell of a dissertation on this.
It's a controversy. It is.
Truly.
It's a controversy. Yeah. But I think what we can all agree on is that Miami needs Tyler Hero to be pretty spectacular for them to win this series.
Hey, is PJ Tucker okay? He's hurt.
He's got an MRI coming on that.
He ain't right.
He got hurt in game one.
No, he got problems there.
He was only able to play 22 minutes last night.
Yeah.
Again, that puts a lot on Jimmy Butler as a defender.
It's a killer.
When PJ can't go out there and do PJ Tucker things.
Where's my man? My man was on Twitter. He was coming at me because I said PJ Tucker would have been a perfect Grizz. He never was, but
no,
he would have been a perfect Grizz. And this guy was coming at me.
For grit and grind, though, right?
He would fit with his team.
You said he would have been. That's what your sister should have
said. I think PJ Tucker would be a great addition.
He can hit threes.
I don't know about all that.
Why not?
I mean, it'd be a good addition.
You can move,
it's not like the missing piece.
It's not. But
okay.
You slide Jaren to the five, and he's your four.
Yeah, going to have to rebound his tail off.
He does, though.
Yeah, when healthy.
How old Jason is he? Hates
how old
little,
is he? 41?
I mean,
38, 37?
Let's talk about basketball players that you like.
Because
you have found a way to just crap on every other basketball player.
All I'm talking is facts. He is not on the Grizzlies' timeline. It would be one thing if
that's
you thought you were going to win a championship last year.
If you're short with that,
which is why the Milwaukee Bucks brought him in, right? It's why the Celtics bring him in, because you feel like you're close and he can be that final piece for you. He is not on that timeline
but Jay Williams
of the
Grizzlies. But Jay Williams said earlier today that the Grizzlies should be in the Western Conference Finals next season. They should expect to be in the Western Conference Finals next year.
I just think.
To me, that's kind of not fair.
You didn't even bring it up. Like, they have the 10th best odds.
Right.
Like next year.
Yeah.
Nobody's expecting the Grizzlies to be back in the finals. And I know Jay was ahead of things, and he'll tell you that. He had them as a top three seed before we even believed
it. Yes.
But nobody's got them there. The Clippers guys are going to be a different team next year. You figure the Lakers ain't going to sit there. Jamal Murray's coming back to Denver. Like, things are going to be different next year. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't automatically mean the Grizzlies are going to be fifth in the West. No, you could still be top four. But this idea, you're just going to be right back there at two, and the goal should be Western Conference Finals and going to the final. It still feels early to me for that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I feel like you don't
would love to see it.
You don't want to put too much it's a fine line.
But if you make the mistake going all in right now and you miss, like Portland sort of did, right? It doesn't blow up like that in your face because you've got younger dudes, make a mistake.
I would be
hesitant
to do anything drastic, right?
100%.
Like, I just wouldn't try to do that right now because I don't even think you don't even know
the ceilings of your own guys yet.
Right, you don't know.
So you don't know what the finished product is in terms of when it is time to go all in and get that guy, Drew Holiday, whatever it is.
Absolutely.
P.J. Tucker, if it is.
Phoenix had to go out and get Chris Paul.
You don't know Jaren's ceiling yet.
You just don't know yet what your shortcomings are going to be.
And quite frankly, because you didn't have a lot of time, you really don't have a ton of sample size on Ja, Bane, Dylan, Jaren.
Right.
Now, it feels like perhaps a decision's going to have to be made before. But just being true, you really don't know the ceiling on those four together.
Agreed.
You didn't get them all this year.
And to me, that's kind of what makes this postseason a little more frustrating, because you lost in the second round, which is, again, no shame in that. But you're not coming out of it with, like, a very clear, this is what we need to do. This is what we need to address. Because Ja got hurt. Steven Adams wasn't on the floor in game one. So you're just not – there's not this great clarity, we need to go add this, that, and the other, and then we'll – you just don't – you don't know yet to the point. It's just going to be a time thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be a you have to have reps together, and that's all you can do. And so it's going to take – that's why I'm like, Western Conference Finals seems a little like let's slow down a little bit.
I respect his that.
Yeah, no, and
well,
we
you
love
guys
Jay.
Are contenders
no,
now. Like that's he's opened our eyes in some aspects.
But it's going
to
be very hard to run this back that way.
Man, Kawhi coming back. Man,
Kawhi's
had all
back.
The time off.
Jamal Murray's coming back. Right.
I don't really believe in the Lakers. Although you got to just think LeBron's not going to sit there and do the same thing over.
They'll do something.
Got to do something.
They'll make a move.
I don't think Golden State's going anywhere, John, because that feels like it's going to be a run it back situation.
Minnesota, I know you beat them, but that was a testy series.
Dallas
ain't going anywhere. So I just, The Grizzlies are going to be in the mix, right? I have
no hope for a top four.
Doubts about that, but it's just going to be, you add P.J. Tucker, that could get you over the top.
Stop.
Now,
I'm having people text me and say you're all in one today.
Yeah. Oh, you are?
So there are some
I'm having people text me and say that you're on one.
I just got a couple of tweets on it, too.
Okay,
yeah, I'm having people text me and say you're on one today. In fact, Shaq text me and said.
In fact, Mark writes, John, what are you smoking today?
Yeah. What
we're going to have a drug test at y'all after the show.
For what? We'll see what specifically do they have an issue with? Because I would, again, urge you that if you don't think P.J. Tucker can shoot, you should look at his percentages. He's one of the best three-point shooters in the entire
issue
NBA.
Is he's not on your timeline right now. Unless you're trying to win a championship next year, you don't need P.J. Tucker.
Well, I'm not talking about that no more. Okay. I'm off that.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the here and now and why. And by the way, P.J. Tucker won them the game. When he came back at the half in game one, he locked down Tatum.
He did.
Tatum had 19 at the half. Though. How many did he finish with?
He's hurt now.
What did he finish with in game one? And then guess what? He didn't play in game two, to speak of. And guess what happened? Boston rolled their ass.
He played 22 minutes.
What's the difference?
Ineffective.
What's the difference, folks? I see one difference, one theme.
Right.
When P.J. Tucker played and was healthy,
right.
Or battled through at least.
They win. So that was like your Golden State breakdown. It's all about Jordan Poole. If he does well, they win. If he doesn't, they lose. With Miami, it's P.J. Tucker. There it is.
Is that not true with Jordan Poole? What did Jordan Poole have in game one?
I have no idea. It wasn't about him. It was about Steph. He had 21 to lead the team.
Well, let's
see. It was a balanced effort. Poole didn't go over 21. I'm pretty sure Steph led him in scoring.
I mean, that's
a balanced
pretty good,
effort.
Though, right? I mean, that's 21.
I'm just saying,
it wasn't
about Poole going off. That was not the reason they
But Poole hit some shots, though, Big Dog.
I'm sure he did. Everybody did for Golden State.
I mean, so Jordan Poole can be the bellwether, you know? And
I'm glad
was.
You rephrased. You said can be. He is not, though, all the time, as you stated, like it sounds like you're trying to say about PJ.
Jordan Poole had 19.
Well.
I mean, that's pretty good. He outscored everybody on the team not named Steph, you know? That's a pretty damn good place to be. Klay Thompson.
No, we love the way, as Jeff, you distill it down to one player.
Pool party.
The whole series.
Pool party. And when the pool party is splashing, the Warriors typically win. So I would definitely try to focus on that. And no, I mean, P.J. Tucker does not make the Miami Heat, right? That's all going to be Jimmy. Jimmy is the spirit. But in terms of winning this series, if they don't have a healthy P.J. Tucker, it is over.
Yeah.
It is O.V.
And a contributing Tyler Hero, as you said.
And he needs to be great. Because when... I was going to say, when you have him, Strus, Oladipo on the floor, mm-hmm. like who can I count on?
Right.
Right? Who's going to be, I got Dedmon in there, friggin' Dwayne Dedmon. I mean, who am I going to count? Who can
somebody,
I count on?
Somebody got to help Jimmy. He's giving you superhero efforts here.
Yes, absolutely. So, anyway, game three is tomorrow. We're in that pattern now where it's one game,
Love
one
it.
Game, one game, one game. So I appreciate that. We have a game every day.
How do you feel about tonight?
But let's make that the next story.
Next story.
So Golden State, Dallas. Here's what's interesting to me, right? So we all watch game one, right? And I sometimes will talk about this stuff, like the line functionality. Golden State made Dallas look silly. Dallas never competed in that game ever.
Mm.
It was over at the half as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I know it was only a 7-point deficit, but you could just see the way that one was trading. Then third quarter, they come out, splash them. Fourth quarter, they come out, splash them. That line was six. It's still six. That's interesting to me. So what the books are trying to tell you, right? And then the line may move based on like money and all that stuff. But what the line is trying to tell you, or the book's trying to tell you, is that they expect that wake up performance from Luka tonight. Luka was bad. Luka had 20.
Yeah,
that's just not going to get it done.
I told you 7 turnovers, 6 field goals. That's a bad game.
Brunson had 14.
Now you have to say their defense was good on him. They kept him out of the lane.
Oh, and they're going to do that
I told
again.
You, his shot distance averaged 2 feet behind where it had been all playoffs. They were pushing him out.
Yes. So what they're trying to tell you tonight with this line is that even though it was a complete undressing in game one, that there will be some noise made by Dallas tonight.
All right. Y'all say so. I'm not going for it.
You think Luka's going to have another?
No. I told you, Luka will bounce
right?
back. That was an awful game.
Okay,
doesn't mean his teammates will.
Okay,
and there were losses against Phoenix where Luka was great, especially early in that series.
Yep,
on the road to Phoenix to start the teammates weren't doing anything. You got to have that, John.
Let me ask you this:
can't just be Luka.
Can Brunson have more than 14?
Yes.
Can Reggie Bullock have more than 12?
Again, on the road, Brunson. I'm not counting as role player. Brunson has
right.
arrived. He's going to be one of the most
coveted
free agents.
Can Dorian Finney-Smith have more than 5?
Let's see it. I saw Game 7 against Phoenix. I saw him and Dinwiddie hitting shots.
Can
Do
Maxi
on the road.
Can Maxi Kleber have more than 3?
Needs to have it.
Yeah.
You get the point.
I hear what you're saying.
It ain't about Luka, John. Your point's Luka's going to be great. I believe that. It's in terms of them making this a series, it has to be more than Luka.
Luka has to average 34 a game. I mean, that's just the truth. Otherwise, they're not going to compete in this series. If he doesn't find a way to average 30-plus points a game, because you're not going to be able to get enough. You can't find that from these role guys, especially on the road. What you need, frankly, is you need Bullock to have like 12. You need Kleba to hit like 3 or 4 threes. You need Brunson to have like 21 and be able to get to the foul line. And then you need...
Well, and then what are you doing on the other end, John? It can't just be all about them scoring. Well, you better be stopping something.
I mean, we talked about their game plan against Phoenix, right? Like, they're a pretty good, damn good defensive team. They're one of the best defensive teams in the NBA.
But again, it's a different offense. And me and you both agreed that Phoenix let them off the hook old man Chris Paul, basically,
sure,
and Booker. They're not running you around like Golden State is doing with that offense.
They need P.J. Tucker. There is no doubt about it. They have to find a way to, like, who is that going to be for you? It ain't going to be Frank Ntilikina, you know?
They don't have that guy.
No, they don't. And they gave Bertans 13 minutes. Man had nothing. Man was doing cardio out there, you know. And that's the worry. It's like you have leaned on these guys who have
been
brilliant.
Again, this is not a true contender. Luka is a superstar. It's why they're here. This has been more about the Phoenix failure. That's why Golden State will continue to roll.
Is Luka the best player in the series?
It's if you put him over Steph, and yes, at this point in their careers. And I mean, Steph had a real lull this year that put him out of the MVP contention. Luka, look at this team. It's here because of Luka.
No.
Absolutely, you would take Luka right now.
Can you honestly say, though, that you have been impressed by the Warriors in the postseason?
No. Again, you are so hung up on how close the Grizzlies were that you can't see the big picture. Like, that's still, right?
What is the big picture?
The bigger picture is that they caught the biggest break in the world when Dallas knocked off Phoenix.
That's true.
That's the big picture here.
I agree.
Because you're talking about a team that was up 2-0 in the finals last year.
Yep.
Hell, it was fine. It was championship or bust for Phoenix. They were better all year than the rest of the league. You don't even have to see them. You get Dallas. That's the big picture.
Right.
That path was made easier by Golden State. I know Jay Williams don't want to say it, but I'll say it all day long.
Uh-huh.
It made them more confident. They won't say it publicly, but absolutely, they now believe this is their destiny.
We don't need to get
into if they're going to be Boston or Miami right now, but they are damn sure going to be in those finals.
Well, let's even go back
to their time,
the Nuggets series, right? I mean, they looked good at home in the first two games. Then they dilly-dallied around, kind of played with the Nuggets. And the last two, Nuggets won game 4, Nuggets covered game 5, even though it was a closeout. It was only a 4-point win. They hung in there and were leading, I want to say, in game 5 through 3 quarters.
And big part of that, Jokic just didn't have anybody, right?
Correct.
That's going to be a common theme we're talking about through the rest of this Western
Conference. No, I think that's an apt
Luka
comparison.
Luka just didn't have anybody else.
Nuggets did take a game. You know, and it's kind of the same way, right?
I told you Golden State in 5.
Joker was depending on Monte Morris and Will Barton and Jeff Green and, you know, those type of dudes.
JaMychal, right?
JaMychal was playing. There's not a whole lot of difference in this.
It's a superstar and a bunch of role dudes.
Like, I would say Reggie Bullock, Dorian Finney-Smith, Brunson, Dinwiddie are pretty comparable to that. Man, I think Dallas' role players are a little better.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't know who Denver's Brunson was this year,
because
Brunson's legit.
And I guess you would say Monte Morris is kind of the Dinwiddie, but I would take Dinwiddie right now over him.
It's so similar. And when you're only talking about one guy, right, and everybody else are the ones
that
got to beat
you. I don't think the Warriors can win the championship.
Well, again, that's a different topic.
Well, I'd like to discuss that.
You want to discuss it because you want to end up being – you want to get something right.
Well, I've been right on a lot of individual things.
No, of course. I'm just talking about in this conversation.
Yeah, I mean –
because you realize that I'm right on this thing opening up for Golden State. Like,
well, it did. I mean, and I hate that, you know?
I know, because if you had been Memphis and all that. But I'm telling you, it ain't transitive necessarily. What Golden State looks like against Dallas, we know Memphis might not have looked like, especially if you're without Ja.
Yes.
So – don't get too frustrated watching Golden State roll here.
I try not to watch them at all, really.
It's matchups.
They're disgusting. They disgust me. Their fan base is...
Yeah, I don't like Steve Kerr.
You know, pubescent teenagers, you know, who have, you know, avatars of, you know, random NBA players.
And it is funny how Steph wants to dance now, right? Like, you know...
Well, he wasn't doing a lot of that against the Grizz, was he?
No, it's true. Not until the last 6 minutes of that game.
Right, and that was a sweat.
But it shows you how confident he's feeling, too.
We talked about this yesterday. Like, I'm so sick of the Grizzlies being like the, you know... the primers, man, for them. Every playoff run, it's been like that. Every playoff run, you know, that the Warriors have had damn near. It's coincided with the Grizzlies giving them a fight. and, you know, waking them up and being like they're smelling salt, you know? I'm sick of that. And I'm looking forward to the day where the Grizzlies are whole and those days are over.
Oh, they're coming.
You know what I mean? That would be the most – it would be so – I would almost rather take beating Golden State in a playoff series in a championship.
That's ridiculous.
And ending their –
You're going too far now.
Ending their time.
Your personal feelings. Man. You're going too far.
I just hate them, man. I really do. Like, I'm like Giannotto. I hate them. I hate the
You're like Saban when he thinks about Jimbo.
I hate their fans, really. Their fans are the worst. That's the problem. But, yeah, we're gonna get game two tonight. Dallas and Golden State. Catch it right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Next story.
I want to know what you think about this. Michael Vick's coming back. He's unretiring. He's going to play in this fan-controlled football game later this month, according to TMZ Sports. Now, fan-controlled football, what's that? I've seen a little bit of it. Saw some highlights of Terrell Owens, the former the Hall of Fame NFL receiver, playing in this thing. And listen, Michael Vick's 41 years old. Certainly not the athlete that he was, but in this, Michael Vick probably going to be able to do some damage and be effective. My question for you is, a guy who was a huge Michael Vick fan, you've talked about it a ton on the show, how interested would you be in watching controlled football if Michael Vick is there?
I mean, Michael Vick was the most electrifying NFL player I have ever watched.
May 28th is the date for the comeback.
But come on, man.
You know he's still fast.
I know he's going to be fast.
You know,
man,
he's still got a cannon.
I'm not interested.
You don't need to see it.
No, I don't need to see it, man. This is stupid. This whole concept is stupid. Like, you buy these NFTs and like you get a chance to call the plays and stuff. I mean,
is it all fixed? When, like, I saw Terrell Owens catch a touchdown. Are the defenders?
Yeah, man. Like,
let T.O. get this one.
Put it this
because
way.
That kills you.
Put it
that
this
kills
way.
You right there.
You
off
cannot
top.
Bet on this stuff.
Yeah, that's it.
Jacob Morgan, who's sitting in with us from Memphis, tells me that Manziel is in this. Is that right?
Yeah. Manziel's in it as well. He's right.
How about that?
It's fixed.
No,
it's like wrestling, and so you can't bet on it.
Well, it's Terrell Owens, bro. Terrell Owens is like 55 years old.
He's not that. He's great. Great athlete still. What is he, in 40s or something?
Yeah, but come on, dude. Like, it's back to Terrell Owens, with all due respect. Like, the fact that he's playing football, like, that. What is that going to be? Like, it's just not going to be something that's regulated. It's not going to be something that's – so no, I would not watch. I mean, I'm
that's
sure –
the problem. If it's too fake, it doesn't matter the former – the right. old superstar head you put in there. Nobody's really going to give it a shot.
I will –
I'm with you here.
Probably see some highlights on Twitter, right?
Yep.
But I will not be arranging my day – you know, around it. I mean, there's just it's hard to do that. Like, even, you know, Manziel with the what was the Memphis team name? Who were they?
Oh, the Express.
Yeah, like, even that was like hard to get up for, right?
Yeah,
it was like it's hard to.
What are you talking about?
He didn't play.
They didn't play him. Yeah,
Singletary wouldn't put him in there.
Right, but it was still like not, you know. Nobody around the world was like, we got to see Johnny Manziel play again, man. Like,
well,
it's not
you,
the same.
If Manziel's in this, it's like he's the one that's actually still got to, you know, hope to have a career. Like, he's,
yeah.
This ain't Vic, this ain't T.O. Their careers are behind them.
Correct.
The fact that he's had to go down to this level just kind of shows you, brother, might as well just give it up.
Right.
You know, you got to pick the next phase.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why Michael Vick is doing this. I guess he's just trying to.
I didn't realize you cannot bet on this. That tells you everything you need to know.
I have not seen it, if you can. I have not seen it on my.
Yeah.
You know, on my various apps.
They don't mess with it because it's fake.
Right.
It did look like those DBs let T.O. catch that ball, too. So I had my suspicions. But Michael Vick's coming back, y'all. May 28th is the date. Again, he's 41 years old. He's going to play in this fan-controlled football game. Like John said, we'll probably see some tweets about it.
Is it even like a real field? Is it even like a
It looked to me like an indoor arena league type thing.
So it's
they
like,
got the walls around the sides of it and all
they
that.
Tackle,
you know what I'm
or do they tackle? Like,
no, they tackled T.O. after he caught the touchdown. But it looked like to me they almost let him catch it. And that's what I'm saying. If it's called for him, is the deal, okay, let's let this through. Let's let T.O. get it because – I'm not watching 2-3 plays
right.
of that.
No, like it is.
I'd rather watch a practice.
We have this sort of obsession in this country with trying to like
capitalize on the football stuff,
like really try to make spring football a thing. You know, like USFL is back. We the XFL came back, died. Now it's back again, and it's. I saw the news yesterday that The Rock's got a ESPN television deal with the XFL. Like, he nailed that down. It's going to be on ABC. It's going to be on ESPN.
He's beasting this thing. Like, he's determined to get
But here's the problem.
Well, there's something wrong with it? It looks like he's got it set up to succeed.
No, I mean, as much as you can.
He's checking all the boxes.
Some of these markets, it works. Like, in St. Louis, these Battle Hawks things, well, like, they have 35,000 people in
that. It's got to be a market where, like, you don't have, you know, anything close to it. You know, kind of like minor league baseball, like in some towns it works really well, right?
Chattanooga or whatever.
Yeah, and in others it doesn't. I feel like, when are we going to learn? When are we going to learn that people, there's a talent deficit? These quarterbacks in the USFL are awful. It's terrible. It's unwatchable, man. And the games were so long that they had to start using a running clock. Like, they had to start using a running clock even on incompletions. Like, because the product is so bad. There were so many incompletions, and the games were taking 4 to 5 hours. It was crazy. So I don't know. Like, I tried to watch the USFL, man. I tried. I gave it a shot. But it's just, like, not entertaining at all.
Let me ask you something, thinking about this story. Michael Vick, 41, you figure, still in great shape. He showed Rich Eisen, and he could still throw the ball. Who's the oldest best athlete?
Great question.
We've ever seen.
Well, like, it's going to be probably, like, a boxer or something, right? You would think, or you have, you know, because it's just a different.
Julio Franco?
Like LeBron James at 37.
He's up there.
Would have to be up there because
his season still is.
Because of his skill level.
He just had an MVP level.
Yeah.
What about tennis players, you know? I mean, is there like a great older tennis player?
I don't really know. That's a young person sport. Golf.
Like, golf is like.
Tiger's breaking down.
Right.
Can't put him on any list.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't. And a golfer's not going to be on this list, right? Because most golfers.
The first person I thought about, to your point, was George Foreman, because he won the heavyweight title at 46 years old. I think it was the oldest heavyweight champion in history.
Good submission.
That's 46 to win it. Like you look at him and you wouldn't think athlete at that point, because he's a big old man. But again, to win the heavyweight title, doing it against younger guys, it's going to take some athletic. Yeah. You'd have to put him up there because you're a world champion.
Absolutely.
So you'd have to have Foreman on a list like that. Anybody else we leaving off? Jerry Lawler, John?
Jerry Lawler. Oh,
I figured,
man.
John, have Jerry Lawler on this list, BC.
I don't. He's
Ric Flair.
No.
He's doing his last battle. Ric Flair.
His last match.
Yeah, he's decided he's wrestling his last match. Imagine that.
Who's it against?
I have no idea. Somewhere I heard somebody talking about it on the radio.
Where is it?
Up in Kentucky or something. I have no.
His last match is going
to
be in.
Don't hold me to that. I'm sure you can find it very easily on Twitter. Heard some people. But my point was,
Ric Flair does not have to get in the ring.
When I heard it, I thought. Ding.
Men's Journal.
Jerry Lawler should do the same.
Men's Journal wrote about this.
He's never going to retire.
And here are some of the submissions. Bartolo Colon, when he was late, there was this. There's an Olympic runner. Gordie Howe was good. Are you talking current existing athletes?
Well, I did get a submission.
Yeah, Bernard Hopkins, I'm getting.
Jamie Moyer in baseball.
Good one, Anderson.
You know,
Jerry Lawler.
Ichiro. Yeah.
Jerry Lawler.
Lawler. Get the hell out of here. Jerry Lawler?
He is still.
You pull the strap down.
I will say, though, like, that man will still, like, take some bumps. That's very impressive to
Vince
do.
Vince Carter is an older athlete. What was he, 41, 42?
Yeah.
He could dunk.
And still can. We saw him do it in, like his, you know, suit and stuff.
Yeah. Mike Tyson, I mean.
So he would be on a list.
Mike
no
Tyson boxed a year ago, didn't he?
Yeah, well, and he showed you what kind of shape he's in.
Well, you don't think he's in good shape?
No, great shape.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's in great shape.
Like, he's got to be in the discussion.
He has to be on the list.
He's like in his 50s, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Probably almost close to his 60s, if I had to guess. So.
Jay Lethal is supposed to be Flair last match.
Mm.
Jay Lethal?
But we don't know if it's going to happen.
Jay Lethal is the guy who impersonated him.
The guy who's telling me this said he told Lawler my take, that he should put it down.
Ooh.
Wow. Really?
He ran into Jerry and told him that.
There's no way he did that.
Again.
There's no way.
Remember
the
take. The take was not hate. The take was, let's stop seeing you with your belly out and getting beat up as a joke.
Right.
Let's preserve the legacy. That's what it was based in.
You can't say that to somebody and it not be interpreted as hate, though. You can't say, we got to stop.
That's what I said. I got a feeling. He didn't take it.
And I don't know that it's even true. I do think there's an element of, like, you think it's like.
Well, Rick's significantly older than Jerry still, is he not?
I don't know if they're. I think Ric Flair is older. I don't know if he's significantly older. But Ric Flair almost died like 4 or 5 years ago. Like, he does not need
to
get into the ring.
Ric Flair is 73.
Yeah. 73 year old man, bro.
Brown where Jerry is?
He's right. He's got
Jerry's 72.
Yeah, they're right there.
If, bro, Is it not all aligning?
Well, come on, dude.
We should be doing this together.
This is what wrestlers
right after
do,
Flair
though.
Wrestlers have a hard time. We should have Lawler roll out there and let that be his last
Well,
one.
Here's the problem, right? When you're a lifelong basketball player or a lifelong football player and your body fails you, right? You can still be around the game in the form of coaching. You can still give back to the game, and you can still be active and involved.
You're saying Lawler's awesome as an analyst, as the talking guy?
Well, I don't think he's doing that anymore.
He doesn't need to wrestle.
I might be wrong. I think they took him off of it.
But he could be doing it locally or something.
Locally?
Else, right?
You want him to be that's not going to fulfill him, bro.
Oh, so locally get beat up, essentially. Like, that's what he's doing now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that ain't cool. That tarnishes the legacy. He's the king. I don't want to see the king with his...
How about this?
You know, getting beat up.
I got a good
idea. I bet you Ric Flair wins his last one.
Oh, right? Well, sure. I mean,
because you don't do that to a legend. You don't do that to Jerry. Make him a joke at the end of his
you
career.
You think Lawler's going to lose his last match, bro?
Bet not.
He's not.
I mean,
right?
If he can wrestle, The Fiend hurt him.
That was
made
a gimmick like 5 years ago. That was like
it still scars
storyline, bro. Here's a good idea that we're going to set up. It's going to be a loser leaves town match, and the whoever loses has to retire. It's going to be Jerry Lawler versus Sharif O'Neill. That's what that one's going to be.
Yeah, and your dream with General Booty as the ref.
And no, you're going to ref. You're going to be the special guest referee.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you get to tell the person, you're retired!
Now I'm just going
to
tell them how disappointed I am in both of them.
And there's nobody wins.
This should be it.
Nobody wins.
Both of you guys. Hang it up. Yeah, that's my job.
All right, Jerry Lawler's going to be in studio at 1 o'clock, so that will be a fun time. Hopefully he'll announce his last match. Jason will be very pleased with that. And then Tony Matlock's going to join us at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
If you haven't checked it out, go to the Odyssey app. Download Odyssey. The Heat Check podcast is up with Trista Crick. If you live for the drama of the NBA, you'll fall in love with Heat Check. An NBA champion will soon be crowned. Don't miss all the latest storylines, drama, and hot takes. New episodes dropping on Monday and Wednesday on the Odyssey app. The Heat Check with Trista Crick on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Live Love Memphis group at the Real Estate Agency, they are the superstars. They're going to help you get the most money for your home. Look, man, it's still competitive as ever out here, folks. Right, interest rates, all that doesn't really matter. Demand's still high, and you need to get the most money for your home because, in some cases, this could be a once in a generation opportunity. And that's where the Live Love Memphis team comes in. Jennifer and her team, they want to help you do that. Reach out to them, totallivelovememphis.com.
Yeah, in Dennis's case, it was $20,000 more than Jennifer Carstensen got him than what other agents were telling him he could get for his home, even in this market. Okay, maximize. That's the key word here. Jennifer going to do it. In Dwight's case, it was $30,000 more than he thought he could get for his home. So that's why you want to enlist Live Love's help. Call him up, 901-625-5200. Jennifer Carstensen got me out of a rough deal 3.5 years ago now. You know the story well. John tells it all the time. He tells it well. You're in a much better position. But you want to get every dollar possible. Maximize this market for you as a seller, right? Jennifer Carstensen going to help you do that. 625-5200 is the Live Love Memphis and Live Love DeSoto teams at the real estate agency.
You know what is absurd to me?
What's that?
That there are betting lines already out for every week of the NFL season. That is, like, absurd to me.
NFL is king.
But, like, that tells you, and it should tell you, how difficult it is to beat, right? If you're gonna do that, if you're going to bet on NFL, everybody does, we're all going to do it, it tells you just how damn hard it is.
Wait a minute. Because I'm naive on some of this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not talking about I'm picking the Raiders to win the Super Bowl. You are talking about week one and week two lines?
Week 18.
You don't know who's going to be out there.
They're already out.
So is this not out just to catch the fools? Because who would do it at
this point? I don't know. I'm sure there are some people, right?
You should never do that, though, right?
Betting
I would not
right
advise
now?
It.
Not
make
touch any of those.
How can I bet on a week one game when, like, a quarterback might, you know, running back or running, you know.
Right.
What is, yeah. You just don't know.
Please tell me in what world I'm winning doing that. I just
don't
see any. No way. So they're out to get the foolios.
Yes.
With those early lines.
No, the only thing you would do right now would be just to bet. Like, for example, let's take the Bills. Let's say you think the Bills are going to win Super Bowl. So you'd bet the Bills right now. Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.